Wolves Cast, audio on demand.
Welcome into another episode of Wolves Cast Audio on Demand. John Folkey alongside Cal Soderquist here on the Timberwolves Radio Network. Coming up on this episode, we will check in with head coach and president of basketball operations, Tom Thibodeau. We'll go three in the key and talk about the top three storylines here in week 20. I got that right, week 20 of the NBA season. But before we get to all of that, Cal, let's start with the Jimmy Butler injury. Of course, last weekend, Butler went down Friday at Houston with the knee injury. Turned out to be a meniscus injury. He had successful surgery on Sunday and is out indefinitely in Minnesota. Since Butler has gone down, picked up wins against Chicago and Sacramento, a couple of teams that are struggling this season, and it was good to see Minnesota, despite that adversity, take care of business against those teams. But with Jimmy out, I guess, you know, it's kind of been the topic of conversation over the last couple of days, but who's going to step up? Who needs to step up? Or maybe a better question is, what do you hope to see this team do in the absence of Jimmy?
I think it has to be a lot of guys. I think, you know, you start with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Obviously, Kat's the other all-star. And they're kind of the two guys that come to mind as, before the big roster shakeup this summer, before the arrival of Jimmy and Taj Gibson and Jeff Teague, they were kind of the alpha dogs in terms of go-to scorers. A lot of plays were ran through both of them. So I think that they're comfortable in that role. And then I think we've seen it even, you know, a few games before the Butler injury, Jeff Teague's been a lot more aggressive offensively. And I think that has to continue because not only are you trying to replace Jimmy's offensive production, his leadership, the example he sets, but his defense as well. So I think it just has to come from a bunch of different guys all being connected and on the same page, but maybe you could start with those three names in terms of stepping up and doing the noticeable stat sheet type things.
Yeah, you know, it's so hard to say, all right, you step up. We need Jimmy's 22 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. I just don't think that's fair to do, and I don't think that Coach Tibbs or the coaching staff would do that to anybody. I think their message to the team, and we've heard it from the guys, is, hey, everybody just do a little bit more. Don't, you know, reach outside of what your kind of comfort zone is, what your role is, but just do a little bit more. And in the first two games, and again, against Chicago and Sacramento, a couple of teams that are struggling this year, I think that was a great opportunity for Minnesota to have the ability to do that. You know, they had slow first halves in both those games, kind of trying to find their way. And then in the second half, you see them start to get a rhythm and, you know, lock in on the defensive end. The ball's moving. You've got great balance. And Nemanja Bjelica stepped into the starting lineup. And, you know, again, you're not going to get 22, 5, and 5 from Belly, but he's impacting the game, you know, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, a number of deflections. And so everybody just kind of doing a little bit more, having great balance, I think, has been key. And, you know, the other thing, too, is just, you know, looking at these last two games for Minnesota and kind of looking at the season as a whole, that, you know, yes, Jimmy has a huge impact on this team, but what makes this offense so efficient? It's the ability to get to the free throw line. Obviously, Jimmy is a huge part of that. They take care of the basketball, don't turn it over and hurt themselves, and they win the battle of the boards. And so with or without Jimmy, and Coach Tibbs said this after shoot-around in Sacramento, that, hey, everybody can rebound. Everybody can pass. And, you know, when you get an opportunity at the free throw line, make your free throws and take care of the basketball. Everybody can do that. And so if everybody does that just a little bit better, you know, that's what makes this offense efficient. That's what makes it go and makes it one of the top four offenses in the NBA. So if you can do those things with or without Jimmy, I think you're going to put yourself in a position to be successful.
And I think you can even sort of lean on a hot hand kind of approach where there's plenty of talent still remaining on this roster, and on a given night, I think Jamal Crawford said it after that win on Saturday against the Bulls, that this is maybe what the blueprint will have to look like in the short term, where some nights it's Jamal, he's red hot, he can't miss, and he's getting more of those looks. Other nights it's Wig. We've seen him be able to do plenty of great things, creating with the ball in his hands for himself and for his teammates. Cat, you know, at times he's very aggressive scoring the basketball. At other times he's just a monster on the glass and he's deferring to his teammates. So I think everyone's capable. No one is, you know, on that level that Jimmy is in terms of all the different things he does. Immeasurably he can impact this team, but everyone's capable of stepping up and sort of, like you said, just doing a little bit more.
As Tibbs always says, we've got enough to win no matter who goes down. And so that's the mentality that Minnesota will bring. I think one thing to keep an eye on, and we haven't seen it yet with Jimmy out because Minnesota won these last two games quite handily thanks to big second halves, but who's going to have the ball in their hands in crunch time, you know, when the game's on the line? Because fourth quarters and tight games, you know, the Wolves have relied a lot on Jimmy. The ball's been in his hands to score, to get to the free throw line, to set up his teammates, to make those decisions. And now, obviously, you know, Andrew in the first couple of years had the ball in his hands a lot in that situation. Jeff Teague's been around the league a lot and had the ball in his hands. So I think that's something that will be interesting when Minnesota does find themselves in that situation. Where do they turn? Who initiates it? And who is sort of tasked with running the offense in those crunch time or clutch time situations? So that's certainly something to keep an eye on here as we move forward without Jimmy Butler for the foreseeable future. One final note on Jimmy. The injury obviously happened last Friday in Houston. Wolves had some flight issues. They had to fly back to Minneapolis Saturday morning. Didn't get in until early afternoon. Jimmy dealing with the injury, and Minnesota has second end of a back-to-back. They had the Bulls coming into town, and yet there's Jimmy. We saw the video on Timberwolves, Timberwolves Twitter, Timberwolves Instagram, showing up to meet a kid from the Make-A-Wish Foundation and to make that wish come true despite all of that. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the immeasurable ways that Jimmy impacts this team. Having, you know, the mental fortitude to go through with everything that he went through in that day and still honor his commitment, I think that's one of those things that all the other guys in the locker room can look at and say, hey, he might not be in uniform, but if he's committed to those types of things, to, you know, off the court things, for, you know, to make this wish come true for this kid, then we have no excuse at all.
Keeping things in perspective, yeah, too, right? I think that's great, and really it's a great mentality to have when you have an injury like this too. I think you're going to have we heard it with Zach LaVine. He was in town on Saturday and he spoke kind of about that recovery and, you know, staying positive. And Jimmy posted on his Instagram account, taking the crooked with the straights, the line from the Denzel Fences movie. So it was awesome to see from Jimmy, because I think a lot of people maybe don't keep that commitment, and mm-hmm. and that's not to disparage anyone who decides that. I mean, you're dealing with a knee injury, you're probably in a lot of pain and making a lot of decisions in the coming days, but for him to still do that, take his time, make that kid's day, and really it was special to see, and really just speaks to the kind of guy that Jimmy is, I think.
All right, so Minnesota without Jimmy Butler, again, successful surgery on Sunday, out indefinitely. At least not with the team at the beginning of this road trip. Coach Tibbs did say that, you know, he's already begun his rehab, so I would imagine he's here in the Twin Cities while the team continues their road trip Thursday and Friday in Portland and Utah. But the Wolves coming off a big win last night in Sacramento. They sweep the season series with the Kings. Six in double figures, three over the 20-point mark, but I want to highlight Karl-Anthony Towns. 26 points, 17 rebounds, 9 of 10 shooting. He had four assists. He had a couple of block shots. Cat was as efficient as anybody in the league this season. There have been a couple of other guys who have gone who've scored 26 points on 10 shot attempts or fewer. It would be Justin Holiday of Chicago. He had 26 points on 7 of 10 shooting against Toronto back on January 3rd. Ersan Ilyasova had 26 points on a perfect 9 of 9 shooting when he was with Atlanta. They took on New York back on December 9th. And Cat, 26 points last night, 9 of 10 shooting in the win over the Sacramento Kings. The 26 points, great. The 9 of 10 shooting, great. The 8 of 8 at the free throw line, fantastic. 17 rebounds, I think, was the biggest story in that. Minnesota, when they win the Battle of the Boards, they are almost unbeatable. And when you've got a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns that can own the glass like that, it's huge for Minnesota, and it provides such a positive swing for the Wolves.
I think Tom Thibodeau mentioned it after Saturday's win, too, that when everyone's rebounding, like you mentioned, Nemanja Bjelica, he can rebound. He's got the size and the athleticism. And when everyone's locked in on that facet of the game, whether you're getting yourself second chance opportunities on the offensive end or you're taking them away from your opponent, that just gives you an advantage, because then if you give up some points at the three-point line, or say Minnesota's very good at taking care of the basketball, but maybe they lose the turnover battle, you're winning that advantage in the rebounding, and I think it's so huge to have everyone locked in and dialed in, and everyone follows Cat's lead on the boards. I think he's come a long way as a rebounder. He's even spoken about really knowing that timing and how it's kind of almost an instinct thing, and it's a lot of fun to watch. 54 double-doubles in 64 mm-hmm. games. I mean, that just speaks to the consistency that, you know, night in and night out, he's going to attack the glass and get his points efficiently as possible as well.
And they're not like 11-point, 10-rebound yeah. double-doubles. I mean, these are 20 and 15-type double-doubles. 17 boards for Kat, 7 last night for Belly, 5 for Taj, and 6 off the bench for Gorgie Jang. Minnesota was plus 12 in defensive rebounds, and I think that's a big reason why they had such a big edge in fast break points, outscoring Sacramento 14-8 in that category. So good to see last night in the 118-100 win over the Sacramento Kings. We'll take a quick time on. Still to come, we'll go 3 in the key. We'll hit the top 3 storylines here in week 20 of the NBA season. But coming up next, conversation with head coach and president of basketball operations, Tom Thibodeau, right here on Wolvescast Audio on Demand.
It's time for some NBA action in the North, Wolves fans. On March 8th, Kyrie Irving and the Boston Celtics are headed our way, and we want you there to catch Northern highlights from the pack and to experience the electrifying atmosphere going down at Target Center. Be there to see Wiggins slice up the Celtics defense, Cat dominate the post, and the rest of the pack as they defend their ground against the boys from Beantown. Visit Timberwolves.com to get your tickets now. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north. The Timberwolves are presented by U.S. Bank.
Welcome back. Wolvescast Audio on Demand continues. John Fokey with you here. Cal Soderquist will rejoin me in a few moments as we go 3 in the key. Take a look at the top 3 storylines for week 20 in the NBA. Before we get to that, though, had an opportunity to catch up with head coach and president of basketball operations, Tom Thibodeau, recently. Talk about the schedule slowing down post-All-Star break, the development of rookie Justin Patton, and the relationship between the Wolves and their G League affiliate, the Iowa Wolves, and also Minnesota fighting for a playoff spot. Our conversation took place before the injury to Jimmy Butler, so it's not covered here. And now, without further ado, head coach and president of basketball operations, Tom Thibodeau. Well, coach, through January and the end of December and February, we talked about all the challenges of the busy schedule. Now, as you come out of the All-Star break, what are some of the challenges of not playing every other day, of having some gaps in the schedule?
We just went through a stretch of 22 and 36. And then in March, we have 13 games, and, of course, April 5. In the schedule, the players get used to getting into a rhythm. Ideally, I think they'd like to play every other day. It's trying to figure we need the rest, but we also need to stay in rhythm, so that'll be a challenge. But I think as we head down the stretch, usually the last 20, we have 21 games after the break, and, you know, we're playing for something, so I think it's meaningful.
Well, and how different is that for some of these guys who, you know, usually when you hit March or into April, they haven't been playing for something? How do you, how does Jimmy, Taj, Jamal, those veterans kind of communicate, you know, kind of what's at stake and what's different?
Yeah, and Jeff as well. And I think for those guys, veterans, they have a good understanding of, you know, what's at stake. And every game is important. Every possession is important. And that's similar to what the playoffs are like, except that there'll be a higher intensity level in the playoffs, and hopefully we can get there. But you have to go step by step, and you have to make sure you're getting for ready for every game and understand what goes into winning and prepare yourself the best way possible.
Taj said earlier this week that this is when it's fun, when you start to, you know, where every game does matter in terms of playoff position, and you're watching all these other things. Is this kind of the fun part of the season, even though we talk about the dog days, but fun just in terms of what's on
well,
the horizon?
Well, it's interesting, I think, for everyone, because as you head down the stretch, there's more head-to-head competition, and not just with us, but with the rest of the league. So there's great interest in every game. It impacts other teams, so just being locked into what we have to do and to concentrate on the improvement. And obviously you want to be healthy and playing your best at the end.
You guys have been very good at home this season. And, you know, you having been here over at the Dome when the crowds were, you know, a million people that first season, have you noticed a difference this year around with the way you guys are playing at home and the fan support, the crowd support that's kind of come together with that?
Well, I think the big thing for our players is to play hard every night. I think the advantage that you have at home is obviously you're sleeping in your own bed, and you don't have the back-to-back scenarios as much as you do on the road. So I think we've been steady with the way we're playing here, and obviously we have to give our fans something to cheer about. And I think if we play hard and we play smart and we play together, that resonates with the people of the Midwest.
You've been a top five offense pretty much all season. And when you look at Golden State, Houston, Toronto, Cleveland, some of the other teams in that top five, they go about things maybe a little bit different than you guys do. How, or I guess what's been the key to being as efficient offensively as you guys
have
been?
Well, I think every team is different. You know, and you look at a team like San Antonio, they play differently. You look at a team like Golden State, they play differently from Houston. Houston has their own different style, but that fits the strengths of their club. And so I think the good teams do that. And some teams, you know, they rely more on their defense. Some teams are stronger on offense. But in the end, I think you have to be strong in both areas. And those are the teams that usually advance. So for us, we obviously know we have to improve defensively. Offensively, we've been very good all season long.
Talk about defense. In terms of the way teams are spreading the floor right now, how important to have guys like Taj or Carl or some of the other guys who can switch off onto smaller players and then stay with those?
Well, we have to be more disciplined with that. I think, you know, Taj has the ability to do that. I think Carl is still learning, and that's where he has to improve. And, you know, Jimmy has the ability to guard every position on the floor. And the challenge is if you put them on one guy, then they tend to go away from him, and they focus on featuring another player, so you have to lock into how you're going to handle that as well. But I think team-wide, it's an area that we have to get, our young guys have to understand how important it is not to rest on defense.
We've talked before about the relationship with the Iowa Wolves, Scott Roth, the head coach down there, and you had an opportunity to bring up Anthony Brown, Emile Jefferson, and Justin Patton to get a look at them. The further we get into the season, I guess, how much of an asset is that G League team and giving those guys an opportunity and then also being able to bring them up?
Well, I think the big thing is a guy like Emile, who was basically undrafted, but a very accomplished player at Duke. And he's gone into the G League and he's dominated. So that tells you something. Anthony Brown has shot the ball very well down there. And in Justin's case, it's ideal for us from this standpoint. He had an unfortunate injury in the summer, so he missed all of summer, the summer league, and then the development program, and then the fall. And so it's an opportunity for him to get conditioning and also game experience as he works his way back. So he still hasn't been fully cleared, but it's been a good process for him to play professional basketball and to actually get game time. And so that we've used it in that way for him. And of course, having those guys back, it gives us a chance to spend a couple of days with all three of them, and then they'll go back to the G League.
Are you happy with their development and maybe with just the relationship overall of the things that you're establishing here going on?
Yeah, it's been a very valuable tool for us. And we get daily reports, and obviously we can watch all the games and their minutes. And it's because of the affiliation, you could have them work on things that we want them to work on. So it's been great. Scott and his staff have done a fabulous job, so we're thrilled with that.
All right, that's head coach Tom Thibodeau. Big thanks to him for his time for that conversation. Be sure to keep it right here. When we come back, Cal Sutterquist returns. We'll take a look at the top three storylines this week in the NBA. We call it Three in the Key, and it's next right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
Experience the pack like never before with the all-new official mobile app of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Whether you're at home, at Target Center watching the game, or anywhere around the globe, the app is your remote control for all things Timberwolves. Head over to the App Store or Google Play to download it now. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
Wolvescast Audio On Demand continues. John Folkey alongside Cal Sutterquist here, wrapping things up as we go Three in the Key. And boy, the top three storylines this week in the NBA, and I think this is maybe the most fun storyline that we'll get to. It's the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors just going toe-to-toe for the top spot in the West. And Kevin Pelton of ESPN.com just put out an article saying, you know, are the Rockets the team that is built to dethrone the Golden State Warriors? And right now, Houston's won, I believe, 13 straight games and coming off a win last night over the Utah Jazz. Golden State picked up a win at New York over the Knicks, and so it's still Houston a half game ahead of Golden State for the top spot in the Western Conference. These two teams have really redefined how we look at this current age of NBA basketball with what Houston does in terms of spacing the floor, relying so much on the three-point shot. And Golden State, who, yes, they rely on the three-point shot, but they rely so much on player movement, ball movement, that opens things up in the for those three-point shots, or really for dives to the basket and everything. And so these are two styles that have certainly a lot of similarities but also a lot of differences, and it is just remarkable to watch these two teams and the way they play. So the question is, number one, what style do you prefer more, the Rocket style or the Warrior style? And then who ends up at the top of the Western Conference by the end of the regular season?
Man, that's like asking, first of all, do you want to get behind a Ferrari or a Lamborghini? Either one's going to be fun to watch. I think the way the Rockets have...
I know you're a chucker, though, so I know you're going to go with Houston.
They've really mastered that, too. I think everyone has bought in, and the efficiency is there. And then that to me, is fun to watch. I mean, either team has really mastered the style that they want to play, and the unselfishness of Golden State is a ton of fun. But I do love Houston, especially. You can be down, they can be down double digits with 6 minutes to play in a game, and they're still very much in that game. We saw it here at Target Center, and we've seen that team twice in the last couple of weeks, the Wolves have, and I think especially this year, their depth is so much better than it's been. I mean, you add a guy like Chris Paul, obviously, to the starting lineup, but last night's win, they're missing Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, Clint Capella, three guys who have been huge to their success thus far. And someone like Luke Richard and Bob Mute steps up and is huge in the fourth quarter. And I think down the stretch, it's such a staring contest. And it might come down to if there's little nicks and bruises and guys got to rest. And both these teams kind of have the ability to see the bigger picture. And maybe a two seed isn't as important as having everyone healthy compared to having that one seed. But it'll be tough. I just think Houston has a little more depth, and right now they've got the half-game lead. I think they can secure the number one spot, and who knows, down the road, they may place a lot of importance on having that home court advantage and getting to play an extra home game potentially against the Warriors in their building. Who knows?
Well, and I think that was going to be my point as well, that Golden State's been at the top for so long that they have confidence that they can win on the road, they can win at home. It really doesn't matter because they've got that experience. They've been in those positions before. They've closed out on the road, they've closed out at home. Whereas for the Rockets, I feel like there's maybe a little bit more importance to getting that top spot. As far as which team I like to watch more, for me, it's Golden State, just because I love how fast everything moves. And it's not to say that Houston doesn't play that way, but Houston, they get into the half court, they set up these different pick and rolls. There's a lot happening, but the way Golden State moves the ball and the way these players are moving so fast, and they fly off picks, and it's a lot less built on bring it up into a pick and roll, get Capella going. And the thing that makes Houston so deadly is their spacing and obviously the threats that they have all over the place. Whereas with Golden State, you've got everybody who can handle the basketball, everybody who can shoot, everybody who can move. And that, to me, is just fascinating to watch, that all these guys are so interchangeable on both ends of the floor. What has impressed me the most about the Rockets this season, though, you mentioned their depth. I think that's impeccable. But they brought in the right depth. Yeah. They brought in, P.J. Tucker, Luke Richard, and Bam Mute, these guys who can play defense as well as impact the game offensively. They've been able to integrate Gerald Green into that lineup, about halfway through the season. And so suddenly you thought, well, they've got a lot, they've already got a plethora of those types of players, those wings that can shoot and can use their athleticism defensively. And then they add Gerald Green. And so they've done a great job of finding the perfect fitting pieces that impact and complement what they have. So that's been really fun. I think at the end of the day, I'm with you that Houston kind of wants it more. Houston maybe needs that top spot more. Who knows what'll happen in terms of do you get guys rest and so on and so forth. But I think it'll be Houston ending up in that top spot, and I just can't wait to see these two teams match up again because the matchups so far have been very interesting, and it's fun to see which style wins out. All right, moving on to topic number two here as we go three in the key, the top three storylines for week 20 in the NBA. The Washington Wizards, boy, when John Wall went down, they were sort of scuffling. You wondered what was going to happen to Washington. Was this going to be another one of those years where they were good, but just not quite good enough, and the injury bug kind of derailed them? Well, since then, Washington has won 9 of 12. And now, jokingly, I say, are they better off without him? Probably not. He's an all-star point guard and a guy that is so fast and, again, can impact the game in so many different ways. But Washington, without him, they're up to 4th in the Eastern Conference, and they've had guys step up. And suddenly you're looking at this Washington team and saying, wait a minute, they could be a tough out in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I think the big thing is, like you said, that they're not actually a better or more talented team with him out of the lineup, but maybe it galvanizes everyone that's there left standing, and it's kind of like we're seeing here now with this Minnesota team. It's everyone needs to do a little bit more
type by committee. Mentality.
Yes, exactly, and it motivates everyone a little bit more, and also maybe you end up playing a little bit different style where by default you've got some other guys more engaged. They're touching the ball a little bit more and just kind of getting in their rhythm a little bit more often or more frequently. I think that's most likely what's happening, and I think obviously they'll still love to have John Wall back whenever he's ready to go because he's very valuable to what they do. But I just think that's maybe been the case of this year, and even maybe a motivational or mentality standpoint of everyone's counting us out now. We struggled with John. When he's gone, we're going to be even worse, and guys can maybe use that and let them light a fire a little bit with that.
All of that being said, as you look at the Eastern Conference standings, Toronto's in the top spot, half game up on Boston. The Cavs are 7 games out of first place. And then you've got Washington, Indiana, Milwaukee, Philly, and Miami. Washington doesn't strike me as a team that is going to overtake either Toronto, Boston, or Cleveland.
Go ahead. That first round matchup, do you like them against Indy potentially? And then they've got...
Actually, I like Indy.
Okay.
I mean, I really like the way Indy's played this year. Yeah. I think that would be...
It'd be a fun matchup.
It would be a fun matchup, and I think it'd be a closely contested matchup. But, you know, outside of those top three, I don't see any real legitimate threats coming out of the Eastern Conference, just in terms of teams that could, in a 7-game series, beat Cleveland, Boston, or Toronto. And with Cleveland, I was thinking about this earlier this week, that I don't think the Cavs are as good as they were right before the All-Star break, you know, when they won 4 in a row. I also don't think they're as bad as, you know, the team that we saw struggle to begin 2018. So I think they're somewhere in the middle. And as they try to work these new pieces in, you know, Coach Ty Lue said they've become predictable because they don't have a ton of time to practice, and you're trying to revamp things. And it's not like a few years ago where they brought in, you know, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, some guys that have been around for a while, and you still had Kyrie, and you still had LeBron, and you still had Love. You know, that midseason trade, you still relied on LeBron and Kyrie. This time around, you've got LeBron. Love is out with an injury, and I just don't know that they've got enough or that they'll be able to come together in time to have enough to overtake Toronto or Boston. And so I think that sets up an interesting, you know, kind of conversation. Who do you trust more, Toronto or Boston at this point? I mean, both have had very good regular seasons, but we've seen Boston kind of scuffle a little bit. Their defense has fluctuated after that, you know, great start to the season. And Toronto, as good as they've been in the regular season, you look at past years, they've had great regular seasons, but it hasn't translated over to postseason success. So, you know, the East has been better than we thought it would be this year. But in terms of looking at, you know, the playoff picture right now and those top three teams, I just don't know who's a legitimate threat to come out of there, because we've seen kind of ups and downs, you know, throughout the season from their main top three teams.
Which is what I think makes the first round potentially so much fun in that conference, because, like you said, you can draw a line after those top three, and there are incomplete teams down there, but mm-hmm. there are some fun, exciting talent. I mean, you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, even the Philadelphia 76ers, if they're able to hang on.
So right now it would be Philly and Boston,
yeah,
which would be a great series. Miami and Toronto, which would be interesting because, you know, what Miami team are you going to get? Are you going to get the gangbusters Miami team, or are you going to get the team that, you know, we saw at the beginning of the season that was scuffling? And then Milwaukee and Cleveland, that could be a lot of fun.
Giannis and LeBron, that would be arguably the most fun one-on-one matchup that we'd have in all of the first-round playoffs, I think, yeah.
And I also don't think any of them are predictable.
Nope.
You know, and I guess you could say the same for the Western Conference. But, you know, Houston, Golden State really just seem to be head and shoulders above everybody else. And, you know, the bottom half of it, when you start with New Orleans, Portland, Oklahoma City, and Denver in the West, again, those teams, it's kind of the same situation in that win a couple, slide a couple, win a couple, slide a couple. You just don't necessarily have any world beaters. And in a seven-game series, do you really see the Denver Nuggets taking out a team like Houston or Golden State? I just don't know that they'd have enough in a seven-game series.
No, yeah, you want those old back in the day when it was five games in the first round. Then you have a better chance at the upset, I think. But it'll be fun, and that's, you know, we started this with Washington, and that's a team, like a lot of these teams, that are incomplete right now. They're dealing with things, but they're most likely going to make it into that playoff, and then they're going to have a chance to see where the chips fall.
All right, it'll be a lot of fun. Playoffs, of course, still a ways away. Real quick, we'll wrap up Three in the Key with this. Mentioned San Antonio. Kawhi Leonard starting to work out again for the Spurs after it sounded like, from Greg Popovich's comments earlier this week, that they did not expect him back here in the regular season, or really in this season as a whole. But Kawhi starting to work out again for San Antonio. Reports from ESPN, a possible return in March. San Antonio slipped behind Minnesota now. They are fourth in the Western Conference standings, half game back of the Wolves. Despite not having Kawhi, despite, you know, Tony Parker in and out of the lineup, San Antonio is still a team with home court advantage here in the postseason. So if they can get Kawhi back, even a percentage of Kawhi Leonard, that makes them a dangerous team in my mind.
Oh, 100%. I mean, he's a finals MVP. I think whether they finish four or three or even five, depending on what those other teams do, I think they're mostly focused on continuity and establish it. Once he does come back in the lineup, kind of like Cleveland, as they continue to work these new pieces in, plus you're going to add Kevin Love maybe toward the end of the regular season, and then John Wall, like we mentioned. I think these teams have their primary focus on having everyone on the same page. When you're bringing such a key contributor back from such a long absence, that's got to be the focus in terms of playing, firing on all cylinders as you're in that postseason.
All right, and we would be remiss if we did not mention here as we wrap up one of the top storylines in the NBA, Anthony Davis. This guy has been absolutely incredible over his last five games, averaging 36 points a game, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals, coming off a 53-point, 18-rebound, 3 assists, 5-block night in the win over the Phoenix Suns on Monday. I don't even know what more we can say about Anthony Davis, but I read, I believe it was Rachel Nichols who tweeted a link to an interview that she did with Davis over the weekend, that his mindset with DeMarcus Cousins going down with injury was to channel his inner Russell Westbrook when Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City. We obviously saw Russ go on to be the MVP of the league a season ago. So you've got Anthony Davis. If he's got that Russell Westbrook mindset, that win at all costs, take over a game, do everything, look out for New Orleans. Suddenly they've won 6 in a row. They're surging, and this guy's been incredible.
And it's probably what it's going to take, too. I think anything less than a superhuman-type effort for the rest of the season, they may come up just short. When you look at some of the other teams they're competing and fighting with for a playoff spot. So it's incredible to watch. And, yeah, that was one of the best storylines of that season for Russ, when down the stretch it was either a triple-double every single night or a 50-point triple-double or a game winner. I think in Denver they went in there and stole the show. So if Anthony Davis can give us something like that to watch for the next month and change, I will not complain.
Well, and thank goodness Minnesota already locked up their season series with the Pelicans. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of WolvesCast Audio on Demand. For Cal Soderquist, I'm John Fokey. Don't forget to check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, on your Amazon Echo unit as well, or your Dot. Just say, hey, Alexa, play podcast Wolvescast, and it'll bring you the latest episode of Wolvescast there via your on-demand Amazon unit, and of course SoundCloud and Timberwolves.com as well. We'll talk to you again next week right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.